Saturdays with Jenny
on Kaya 959.
When I read a book called The Broken River Tent, I just saw, I suppose it was just areas of South Africa that the history I didn't really understand or know about. And I think for a lot of people, that's what we are learning from history rather than do good non-fiction books. And the author of The Broken River Tent, and if you haven't read it, I would advise you to read it. Read it slowly, but it is an absolute revelation when you do read it. And the author of that, Mpatumi Ntebeni, has written another book, and it's called The Wanderers. Now, it is not on the shelves, but it is virtually on the shelves. So I've seen the cover, I've seen all sorts of things, and here he is, and he's joining us, and he's going to give you a peek into what you can expect when the book comes out. And Mpatumi, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello. Are you up and about? Have you gone for your run?
Yes, I've already gone to the hiking, but I'm back now. So wonderful to be with you again in this show. Thank you. Hello to your listeners also.
No, well, look, thank you very much indeed. And I'm afraid, you know, the coffee that we've been promising each other just isn't going to take place just yet. But it will, you know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It will, and immediately we get vaccinated, I shall be back again in the Josie Decks.
Well, that's good. And I know that you've had a very interesting time here, so I'm glad that you have. And a lot, you've been in Melville, haven't you?
Yes, I was staying in Melville. Well, interesting is a milder way of putting it.
No water.
I experienced it firsthand how the infrastructure is kind of crumbling there. I think for now I will keep my Republic of Cape Town.
Well, yes, you've got seawater, but you can't drink it. So anyway, let's hope they're better organized than we are. Now, tell us about The Wanderers. And as you know, I read an extract last night that is actually not in the book. It's one of the chapters that was taken out, but it just gives me a good feeling for the book. And it's a book about an MK soldier who refused to come home after 1992. Tell us the story, because it's involved, but it is just such a wonderful South African story.
Oh, yes. The story, basically, you know, what interested me first on it is that there is a generation, which is my generation, that grew up in the township during the 80s. They tend to call us the lost generation. I'm not sure why. And then you find out when history is being told and books are being written, somehow we get overlooked. People talk only about the people from that went to exile. And then those who actually, to me, bore the brand of the chaos that was our township life then get overlooked. And then after that, we get to the bond freeze and all that stuff, and then we start telling the stories again. So I felt that I need to revisit that era. Also, that age group of mine is also an age group that underwent another now almost forgotten pandemic during our times, because we lost a lot of people under the AIDS pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be not to talked about in South Africa for whatever reason. There's still this shame, which I don't understand, that is associated with it. So I thought I would revisit that also, because in my personal life also, I had people that I lost to it. So this MK soldier grew up in a small town in the Eastern Cape. And then in the late 70s, mid 80s, he joins the MK when he's fleeing from the apartheid regime. And then they take him first to Swaziland, Lesotho, Botswana. And then he ends up in Tanzania eventually. He also trained in USSR. So this, for me, gave me an opportunity to look actually in what I called world history, world literature actually. If you know the German philosopher Goethe was always talking about that. So I wanted to put the trend of African, Russian, Western literature into one. So when he is in Tanzania, we find him in Tanzania in a town of Mahorogoro, where a lot of MK soldiers stayed. And then he's dying of AIDS, and then he decides to write a journal. And then in this journal, he looks into his life. He looks back, actually, into his life and reconsider and faces his mistakes and all those things. The thing now, before he left, he had impregnated a woman. So this lady gave birth to a child which she raised on her own, but she herself also, when the child is grown up, she is the one actually who goes to Tanzania to look for her father. And then we see things through her eyes. She's called Ruru. And she's a medical doctor. That's the summary of the story.
So that was the chapter that I read, which is not in the book. Yeah. She was sitting in a cafe, and I think she was having lunch. And and she was waiting for somebody to join her because she wants to find her father's grave.
Yes. She was sitting in a cafe in Dar es Salaam. So there is this guy who's a researcher at the South African Consulate. He's the one who's giving her direction of where her father was, is buried and all those things. So it starts there. But because I think my publisher was concerned about the length of the book, she felt that we could lose that chapter without losing anything on the story, because it's already told within the story how she found her father's grave. But for me, that chapter was a little bit important in a sense that I wanted the readers to get a feel of how she was feeling before she got into Tanzania, when she first got into Tanzania. But you know how these things are.
Well, listen, I mean, there's nothing quite as ruthless as an editor, but as you know. But in the end, I mean, they can see it without the emotion that you have, and they have a certain clarity, and I think that that's important. But it's a much more complex story, because his daughter forges a friendship with his widow, who is a Rwandan genocide survivor. Now, you're going into the dark heart of South African history, but of the history of the continent. Yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, Jenny, another thing why I wrote this book is I was trying to look into 94. And then in 94, I remember how hopeful we were looking forward, and we thought South Africa is going to be one of the greatest countries in the world. And how despondent the Rwandans were feeling, because they were just emerging from this genocide, and everything looked dark for them then, and all those things. And then now, postponed to 2020, and then I'm thinking how despondent South Africans feel, and that they feel a little bit fatigued with everything that is. It feels to me that we have squandered the hopeful fund that we had from 94. Whereas for me, it seems the Rwandans themselves are in the ascendance of hope rather than as we are in a descendance of it. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make the contrast between the two countries. But also I wondered why I made him not to come back to South Africa. I needed somebody who is close enough to be a South African, but a little bit distance away, who hasn't lived in a country for a very long time, to look at what is happening in our country objectively.
So could you touch briefly, because you say that it's a veiled study of the phenomenon of the wanderers, the Amafengo. Can you just take us briefly into that?
I don't know if most of our readers would know of Amafengo. They were the people who fled from current place called KZN now, and they were fleeing from the chaos of Mfecane. Yeah, most people tend to associate that with the Shaka Wars, but Amafengo, especially him, his branch, which is Amahlubi, were more displaced by Mzilikas fleeing from Uchaka than they were displaced by Uchaka. But to cut a long story short, you know that the Mzilikas eventually settled in current Zimbabwe and all those things. So this is an opportunity for me to round out the African history, especially the southern part of it. And I have also a dog in a fight, because I am a Mfengu in that sense. So I was looking at our own history, and how our people were displaced. And I link it in a sense that because almost at the same time that Amafengo arrived in the Eastern Cape, the white settlers also from Britain arrived there. So I wanted to look at those nuances of history and the coincidences and all that, if you know what I mean.
So there is a link in a curious way with the broken river tent.
Yes. There is. I don't think I'm capable of writing any book of imagination without involving the history of the frontier war.
Well, I can't.
But I will have a proper book because the Broken River Tent is part of the trilogy I call The River People. So I am planning to, in actual fact, is what I'm writing now, to release a book two of that trilogy, which I will call The Marked Men.
The Madmen.
The Marked Men.
The Marked Men.
When the last time we talked about, we touched a little bit. It's a story of Teosoga, Van der Kemp, with Dr. Van der Kemp, who was the first missionary to Zamakhosa and all that, you understand? So I'm busy with that now, so I hope it will come out, say, in 2 or 3 years' time.
Well, listen, I'm you know, hungry for books, so I think you've just got to get a move on. I mean, you just do. And Batumi, I'm sorry that this is so short, but when is The Wanderers going to be on the bookshelves? Do you know?
The official publication date is the 20th of July, but secretly between you and I think from the 10th of July should be available.
Okay, so that's what everybody should be looking for, and maybe pre-order it. So if you've got a good bookstore, pre-order it, because there'll be a run on the book, and you can order it. They keep copies for you. You've got your name inside, and you know that you're guaranteed of getting a copy. And Push, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful. And we will release a podcast with the book launch in a few weeks' time with it. The interview.
That sounds absolutely fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Jane. Bye-bye.
No, he's lovely, because I phoned him last night and I said, you know, come on, let's just give a preview of this book. So it's The Wanderers by Umphatumi Ntebeni, and it'll be in the bookstores round about the 10th to the 15th of July, just around the corner.
Saturdays with Jenny, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m.
on Kaya 959.